Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. And I forgot to say it. Internationally syndicated. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still not used to saying it yet. Okay.
All right. Here, let me say it.
Okay.
Internationally syndicated.
On more than 70 stations all around the world, AM, FM, shortwave, DB, DAB, internet, you name it, we're on it.
Wow. Yeah. We're over 70 now, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's growing like it's growing and growing and growing and growing. I wish YouTube would grow. I wish Rumble would grow.
You know what? It is growing, and we know that.
Yeah.
YouTube, especially, we know it's growing. Because, you know, one video, we get 10,000 views in a day, and then the next one, we get 7.
Yeah, it's right.
Like,
what's up with that?
I don't think so.
Yeah. What's up with that? Yeah.
But Rumble's brand new. You guys got to go over and check out Rumble. Just put it in the last.
Yeah. We're new on Rumble.
That will grow, and they'll be honest about it, and they'll send you a penny for every time it shows 100 times or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are new to Rumble. So we'll see. Just started it, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? Something like that? Mm-hmm. It hadn't been long at all. Okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about wars and rumors of wars. And David, you're going to like this.
I love it.
Because of the fact that I don't have, you know, a computer near me where I can do anything anymore, I'm going with the old-fashioned cane. Got my Bible.
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so I'm going to break out. This is my actual King James Bible.
Oh, good. It's not the Passion version, is it?
This is just the normal version of the King James version of the Bible. Okay.
Yeah, because the Passion Version, he actually went up to heaven and grabbed two books out of the library to help him translate it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
Hey. Okay, good.
But I do have this one. And, you know, so whenever we get ready to go into Matthew 24, I'm going to have it. Because, you know, I really think that we are watching prophecy come true. And
100%.
You know, I had... thought about just doing Matthew 24, but then I opened the Bible a little while ago and I was looking through it, you know, to prepare for the show, and I started in Matthew 23, and, you know, you've spoken on Matthew 23 a few times, and it's very relevant, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it leads into 24.
It's a perfect
the narrative
lead-in.
That leads into it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect lead-in for it, and so, obviously, I'll have that, too. I'd just be a little slower, you know, because I'm doing this the hard way or the old-fashioned way, not the hard way. Okay, let's get some news out of the way.
Damn it.
Now, they had the European Union had their, or not union, but, well, I guess it is the European Union, isn't it? They had their voting over last weekend, and, you know, just about everything went to the right. There was a few that survived, but if they survived, they survived it weakened, and they're all freaking out. And we talked about that on the show, too, you know, that they're surprised that we're not buying the fact that everything's great, because in truth, everything is not great. But anyway, I'm going to play this report from the EU about their top jobs.
Okay. European leaders are set to meet in Brussels later to discuss who will get the EU's top jobs. It's the first such gathering since the European elections, and incumbent Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is widely tipped to win support for a second term. William Denslow reports from Brussels.
Von der Leyen's European People's Party remains the dominant force in the European Parliament, having secured an estimated 190 seats in the election. EPP's strong showing further cemented von der Leyen's frontrunner status for the Commission presidency, and analysts say any opposition from French President Emmanuel Macron will likely diminish as his attention turns to upcoming elections at home. EU leaders must also decide who will take the role of top EU diplomat and President of the European Council. William Denslow, Brussels.
Okay, now you heard him say something about Macron, and, you know, he's going to lose it. His attention because he called it, what was it called again?
Snap election.
Yeah.
Snap.
So that's
how do you say
on
that in French, though?
I don't know. Probably snap A. I don't know. I took French in high school and I flunked it
Did you give it back?
In a row. Oh, I flunked twice in a row.
Hey, you know what I learned about French is they got all these extra letters, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they sell a letter like chapeau, or you know, and it has an X and the A and a U, and it's like, where did all these extra letters come from? And then I looked next door, right next door, they got Spain, and Spain they don't have any extra letters. So this is what I figure happened one year, like. Spain just says, listen, we have all these extra silent letters that we don't need, and they just gave them to France, and they loved it, and they just shoved it in everything.
What there you go. Well, yeah. Well, that's as good an explanation as anything else, I guess. Okay.
Makes sense all to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm going to show this again real quick. Hold on. I can do it. This is our title for today, Wars and Rumors of Wars.
Is that a King James Bible there, too?
I don't know if that's a King James up there or not, but it's there. For anybody that wants to watch this in visual form again, you can go to YouTube or you can go to Gumball. You know, just look for Last Christian. You know, you'll find us. Okay,
Gumball's better.
Yeah, I think so. At least so far, they haven't given me any grief. I'll put that. Anyway, everything is pretty much wars and rumors of wars right now, and if people don't think that the United States is in it, well, let me play you this one, because this may just change your entire opinion.
The U.S. military launched a series of attacks targeting radar sites operated by Yemen's Houthi rebels.
This follows an incident where a merchant sailor went missing and his vessel caught fire due to the latest Houthi strike on shipping in the critical Red Sea corridor, authorities stated. These attacks mark the U.S. Navy's most intense combat since World War II as it counters the Houthi campaign. Jim Kender reporting.
Did you hear the last part of that they just kind of flew through real quick? That this is the largest U.S. involvement since World War II.
Mm.
Now, this is the Houthis. This is a small group over, you know, in the Middle East. I'm not really sure where they're located. They're on the eastern side of Israel, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, like northeast. Kind of getting mixed up with all the little islands over there. We'll figure it out sooner or later.
Yeah. But anyway, these guys are harassing Israel, and you know, in order to do that, they have to attack ships that are out there in the sea, Red Sea, and the United States is trying to put a stop to it, and so we're getting involved. Well, we're going to hit the wrong something sometime. You know, it's inevitable. We're human beings, and people are going to make mistakes, and we're going to hit the wrong ship, the wrong plane, the wrong helicopter, the wrong drone, whatever the case it may be. And if it happens to belong to Russia, then we kicked off World War III. It's on us, right? Does that make sense to you, David?
Yeah, I think we probably did already, and they're just looking for that excuse. Yeah. So now... You know, oh, we got this great big thing over there, and, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish are on top of us, and oops, we happened to hit a Russian sub by accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a setup.
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing I am really afraid that the Democratic Party wants a war. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. But that's my personal opinion, and from everything I'm seeing...
Well, they all do.
Maybe, yeah. You're saying that the Republicans are just as much to blame, and I'm gonna say, yeah, you're probably right. You know, I think there's a... Don't they make a whole lot more money all the way around when we're at war than when we're not?
Yeah, it's even more than that. And, you know, just to be clear... What the Republican Party kind of pushes is one thing. They speak the conservative terminology, so we'll vote for them.
Right.
But in reality, there's not that many of them that are any good. You know, they just kind of play in the game. They're puppets, and they're playing that game. But yeah, basically. We talk about this a lot. The flag we have, the American flag that we all know and love, is the war flag. And there is a peacetime flag. Look up America's peacetime flag. Yeah. It only flew, I think, for 2 years out of the entire existence of the nation.
Wow.
And there's a number of reasons for that, because now you can make war. Now they can justify, oh, we have to spend billions and billions of dollars and give it to this company so they can make all these war things. And by the way, I'm getting a kickback. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps the war machine going. Remember Annie, that play, and Daddy Warbucks?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Same back then, Warbucks, you know. Mm-hmm. That was his name, Warbucks. So it's the same thing. If from the beginning, if they can keep people at war, they can control them in a number of different ways. They can control the banking and the money system. They can control production. They can control legislature, because now it's an emergency situation, so we can just push through any legislation we want.
Yeah, and that's basically what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Israel had they moved on recovering hostages, and they were very successful at that. And they got, you know, they got four hostages out, and the whole world was freaking out because they actually killed people in the process. I don't know what you're supposed to do if somebody's shooting at you, other than shoot
nicely, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other than shoot back. I don't know what else they could have done, but you know,
they've been asking nicely for months.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, they also encountered some issues over the weekend. I think it was this weekend. It may have been just before. Let's listen to this one.
The Israel Defense Forces reported Saturday that eight soldiers were killed in southern Gaza in the deadliest attack on Israeli forces in months.
The soldiers were killed in an explosion, the army confirmed, without providing further details. The incident is likely to amplify calls for a ceasefire and increase Israeli public anger over ultra-Orthodox exemptions from military service. In January, 21 Israeli soldiers were killed in a single attack by Palestinian militants in Gaza, Benjamin Wright reporting.
So you got, I hate to call it a handful, but that's really about what it was, a handful of soldiers that were killed. And so now that's going to supposedly turn the whole country of Israel into wanting to end the conflict right now, because we lost a few people.
That's not going to happen. It'll give them greater resolve.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
My son, my daughter, now I'm really going to come and get you. You going to take my kid? It's what? I'm going to take all your kids and all your cousins.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are, this is something that's playing out on the liberal media right now, is that, oh, we're afraid if Donald Trump wins, he's going to retaliate. Well, if I was Donald, and now this is me, just me, okay? I'm not reporting this as a news person or anything else. It's just me. If people were after me the way that they're after him, I would retaliate. I would retaliate with everything they did to me. I would give it to them. So, in my opinion, they have every reason to be concerned, because Donald Trump is saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, nothing stops him from doing it when he's president any more than when Biden loses or wins. Doesn't matter. He's going to pardon his son, guaranteed, even though he said he's not going to. So, you know, both sides are going to lie to you for their advantage. That's my point. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah. I mean, when have we seen politicians do what they say they're going to do?
Only once in my life, haven't
I?
2016 to 2020. Here. Yeah, 2016 on an election. I guess you call it twice. Yeah.
And my list.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Also, Gallant, I believe is his name, resigned from the war cabinet in Israel because he wasn't, you know, his suggestions, I guess, weren't being accepted or wasn't going the way he wanted it to go, or maybe he just saw a political advantage. I don't know. You know, I'm not an Israeli citizen. I'm not, you know, have no idea how things work over there, really. But once he did that, then it really began to put pressure on Netanyahu. And he really didn't have much of a choice but to do what he did today. And let's listen to this one real quick, if I can make my hand work here.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved the limited war cabinet set up in the wake of the October 7th attack by Hamas on southern Israel, amid growing political turmoil as the fighting in Gaza drags on. Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
Now, this was widely expected after the departure of Benny Gantz and also the former military chief of staff, Gary Eisenkot, who held an observer role on the war cabinet. They joined after October 7 to stop the far right from making key decisions on war efforts and also to show unity. Now, the far right elements of the government, specifically the National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and the Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, they have been pushing for a spot on this very limited war cabinet. And this is really being now seen as a way of preventing this from happening, which could further strain relations with international partners. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, says he'll now consult with a limited forum for sensitive decisions. Sarah Coates, Tel Aviv.
Okay, he's going to just bring in people he wants to bring in. Well, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? No, I don't know how that's going to affect anything, but of course now it'll be a big deal to the world, but Israel is going to continue. Let me make this really, really clear to everybody out there. Israel's not going to listen to you. They're going to take care of the problem. They're going to kill the terrorists. They're going to finish the job. So if you're in their way, get out.
That's all I got to say. They have a big history of not doing what other people are trying to force them to do and somehow winning.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why they win. I wonder why.
Yeah, when it comes to nothing to do with them. God says, this is for my sake.
Yes.
He says, you people are horrible, but I have to do this for my name's sake.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and we need to find the scripture on that, I guess, David. But, you know, if you can look that up. Yeah, if you can look that up real quick. But, you know, God gave that land to Israel. And he didn't say that this was a timed lease or that there was a foreclosure or anything like that. He gave it to them and told them that it is theirs. End of story. So all these people that are telling you all this other crap about, you know, well, so-and-so's lived here and, you know, they've got a right to it. No, they don't. Not according to the Bible. God gave it to Israel. Get over yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to make them give it up, and God's not going to let them give it up. So you're just going to have to get used to it. You got any comment on that, or have you found that passage yet?
Go ahead. Yeah, well, I found a bunch. It talks a lot about it, you know, for my own sake. And we did that on the show a few weeks back, I think.
Yeah.
That why do we support Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like Isaiah 48:9, we'll start in 8. Yay, let me read it in modern English.
Yeah. Okay.
you have not heard, you have not known, even from long ago, your ear has been opened because I knew that you would deal very treacherously. And you have been called a rebel from birth. Remember, Israel was started with Jacob.
Right.
Right. So, and that means conniver. So for the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you in order not to cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver, and I have tested you in the furnace of affliction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned? And my glory I will not give to another. So, yeah, that's crystal clear. He's doing this because he said it's my name.
Mm-hmm. Go back to that where it said affliction from the furnace or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in verse 10. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. Mm-hmm. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction.
The furnace of affliction. What pops in my mind immediately is the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That's the very first thing.
What it means. The Holocaust literally means that. So.
Right. So, you know,
burn off.
Again, you can see that the Bible's never been wrong. And could you give them again, David, you said that came from the book of Isaiah. What chapter
Isaiah.
And verse is that?
Isaiah 48:9.
48:9. Okay. So you people pick that up or go to Bible Gateway or someplace and read it. And once you get started, I don't think you're going to stop. But go back and look at that and then think about the Holocaust, and doesn't that look a lot like it? You know, that's the point here. Now, rumors of wars, we talked about this, I think, in the last show, where this past year saw the most conflicts in the history of time, the most wars and rumors of wars. And so, you know, the magnification of this is getting really big. And I don't think there's any place on earth that isn't worried about some kind of conflict coming their way. I know here in the United States, we're worried about terrorism because we've let in people that just possibly could be terrorists. And that's not news. The FBI director has already gone before Congress and told them so.
Well, did you see the FBI raids around the country? And I think they got like 7 different, you know, sleeper cells, and they caught them too. And then clearly we have a problem here in New York City. You can see the dragon behind me. He's on top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
So that's an issue.
Yeah, that's a, man, you know.
Just as a side note, since the Holy Spirit is telling me to say this, you know, what does Jesus call himself in Revelation? Among other things, he's the Alpha and Omega, the...
That was the one that popped in my mind, was the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah. What did he imply? Like the second half of that sentence.
You're catching the first guard.
The first and the last, right?
Right. Yeah. First and last.
That's it.
Well, there's
so check there this
was,
out.
I thought there was something else. Go ahead.
There
go
is.
Ahead.
There's a lot more, but I wanted that one's the one I wanted to pick up.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a bazillion of them. So Isaiah 48:12, he says, "Listen to me, O Jacob." So here's God talking to Israel. "Listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last."
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus called himself God when he said, "I'm the first and the last."
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that's because he is. Pure and simple, you know.
So that's my apologetics for today.
Well, no, you did really good. by the way, the next show we do, not today's, but the next show we do is David's. And that is our comprehensive Bible study, the midweek, every week. And tell them what we got coming up for that, or what we at least think is coming up for that. Because I know God, and the reason I say think is I got to go back a little bit when I used to do video for churches and be in touch with a pastor all week long. And, you know, I said, this is what we're going to do. And then Saturday evening, he calls me up and he says, forget it. God told me I need to talk about this instead, you know. So anyway, if things go according to schedule, David will be giving the Wednesday comprehensive Bible study, or not Wednesday, the midweek Bible study. And what do you have planned on there?
Well, for this week is going to be fun. We talked last week about the impossibility of molecules lining up and the DNA strand. So we're going to dig a little deeper into that and talk about cell structures and how they work and the impossibility of life in general to just appear randomly out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And there's an awful lot. When you figure out just how one simple cell is made, and then we're going to throw Darwin right under the ship that he floated in.
Yeah.
Okay, because he clearly said that. And I'll get the quote for you, but he says, "Oh, if this, all of my postulations here are if we have a simple cell, then all these things can do that." Mm-hmm. And specifically said, if we prove that there's great engineering in the cell, that would destroy my entire theory. Now they found a remarkable amount of engineering that they can't even match.
Right,
and it's like more complicated than running an entire city in one single cell, but they still hold on to their postulation of evolution.
Yeah, well, his version of DNA is do not authenticate, because everything he was talking about has been proven wrong. You know, but the Bible has not been wrong a single time, not from Genesis all the way through Revelation. So. Mm-hmm. Y'all just keep that in mind. David, we've got about 3 minutes left in the first half of the show. I don't want to go into more detail on the stuff that we got coming up. So what I'm going to do is kick it to you and let you talk to people about the Thursday night discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are disciples indeed. And, you know, here we are on the radio show, and we're basically talking at you and, you know, sharing these concepts. But the Bible study, and even deeper, is a discipleship study, because we are to go and make disciples of all men.
Amen.
So there are a handful of people that we disciple. Now, for the most part, we don't learn what we really need to learn in church. It's very milky. Right. So that's what we talk about, all these things that are just fun and exciting. This week, we're probably delving into darkness as an entity, one of the topics we have. A lot of people brought that up. But it's a discussion. Everyone's going to bring a little bit to the table. We're going to talk about it. And then, you know, we'll talk about the Nephilim at times. We talk about, you know, the giants, or what are these aliens? What about the Septuagint? You know, what the other translations, some of the other books that are out there, just a wide variety of things that people want to know but aren't really taught in church and don't really know how to find it. So that's a fun group. You can either go to thehiddenday.com and then get over there and see this study, and when it's available, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Or you could just email me, thehiddenday@protonmail.com. That's thehiddenday@protonmail.com. And, you know, we'll get you into the study. So that should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's really cool about it is, like David was saying, you know, churches do a good job. Don't get me wrong. You know, the true Bible-believing churches do an awesome
there
job.
There are a handful, I got to say.
Yeah. But the one thing that not even they do is have a general discussion. Okay, I'm done. So now, you know, come on. Question and answer time. You know, I have been to maybe some Sunday or prayer meetings that did that, but I have never been to an actual church service, either AM or PM, that just opened it up, unless it was a special event of some type. But this discipleship study is just that. If you've got a question, ask it. If you've got a comment, make it. You know, and everybody is trying to help everybody else understand more, and, you know, come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and gain some strength and maybe even some incentive to go out and share more, you know. So I strongly recommend it. Again, construction going on here has kept me from getting on, but I hope maybe, David, I might actually be able to make it this week. We'll see.
You will.
So we'll see. Anyway, y'all hang in there with us. We'll be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. Russian President Vladimir Putin is visiting North Korea. It's his first state visit to Pyongyang in 24 years. Chris Gilbert reports.
Vladimir Putin will stay just one night in Pyongyang, hosted by his North Korean counterpart, Kim Jong-un. The trip reciprocates a visit by Kim to eastern Russia in September, where Putin guided him around a space facility, with Pyongyang successfully launching a satellite not long after. Reports said the two leaders will sign a partnership agreement that focuses on security. North Korea is a vocal supporter of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the US and South Korea allege that Pyongyang has been supplying munitions to Moscow. The shipments have not been proven, but UN observers say they've found North Korean-made weapons used in Ukraine. Chris Gilbert in Tokyo.
At least 11 people have died and more than 60 are missing after two boats sunk off southern Italy. Officials say the boats were carrying migrants who'd set off from Libya and Turkey. It's feared many of the missing are children. UN figures show that more than 23,000 migrants have died whilst attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea since 2014. Britons are being warned to make sure they're registered to vote in the country's general election, with the deadline just hours away. An estimated 4 million first-time voters still haven't signed up, which they'll need to do by the end of Tuesday. The UK votes on July the 4th, with the opposition Labour Party currently leading the governing Conservatives in the polls by a wide margin. Dan Laws from the group My Life, My Say says many younger voters do leave it to the last minute to register.
On the last national voter registration day, we managed to get 113,000 young people in one day just before the local elections on the deadline day registered to vote. Young people do register to vote. At the last minute, we are the procrastinator generation.
Severe weather warnings have been issued for northern Germany, dampening the mood of the European Championship football tournament, with tens of thousands of fans told to avoid gathering outside to watch several key games. Trent Murray reports from Berlin.
Severe thunderstorms have been predicted across much of northwest Germany Tuesday, causing authorities to close the official fan zones in Cologne, Dortmund, Dusseldorf and Gelsenkirchen. The news particularly affects Turkish football fans, with more than 80,000 predicted to gather in Dortmund to watch their squad take on Georgia. Meteorologists, though, are predicting heavy rain, hail and strong winds, advising football fans to stay at home to watch the game. Local organisers in Dortmund say that while they're disappointed to cancel official events, the safety of fans comes first. Trent Murray, Berlin.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williamson. That's David Paxton there on the left, if you're watching us in visual form. I hope you are. Go to YouTube and Rumble and sign up or whatever. Or maybe we can begin to grow those channels a little bit. But also, I don't want to take anything away from any of the radio stations out there that are taking the show. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. Guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. All right, David, we were talking during the break there, and you came up with something out of Ezekiel, I believe. If you want to go ahead and share that.
Hezekiel. That's the Hebrew anyway. All right, so Ezekiel, and I'm in chapter 20. So check this out. We were talking about, going back over why we support Israel, even though they got all these issues, you know?
Right, right.
So it says right here, we'll start in verse 11, Exodus 20, verse 11. It says, I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. So he's like, hey, I told you what to do. What's going on? I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So he's like, I gave you the rules. I gave you the signs. But, verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They rejected my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. My Sabbaths were greatly profaned. Then I resolved to pour my wrath on them in the wilderness to annihilate them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, before whose sight I had brought them out. And I also swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances, and as for my statutes, they did not walk in them, profaned my Sabbaths, and their heart continually went after their idols. So he's talking here that Israel really doesn't deserve this, but he's doing it for his name's sake.
Right. And you were also saying that when Israel came back in 1948, there's a little sidebar there that nobody really wants to talk about, which is the exact dating in the Bible.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. If you go back, I won't give you all the numbers now because it'll just mess up your head. But here's the deal. They were given a time to repent. Remember, they were put into Babylon for 70 years, and they came back, and they didn't repent. And then they were exiled again. You know, so here they are continually being exiled, but they did not repent, and the Bible clearly says he will multiply, and then it works out to be, like something like seven times and then like 70 times, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, oh, how often should I forgive a man? And he says, well, 70 times seven, because he was talking about Israel and how he's forgiven them, and if you work out the years, he says, you'll be exiled this many years and that many years, and if you don't repent, I'll multiply it, blah, 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 blah. Short story is this. comes out to 2,300 years later and change, which is the exact day is May 14th, 1948.
Yeah.
That they were let back into the nation by a miracle, because there was six Muslim nations that tried to kill them all and stop them from going in, and they still went in. Again, it's for his name's sake. So people will see that he got the land, you know, that this is the land that he swore to their forefathers for his name's sake. That's why they're in there. Not because they did anything, because they rebelled and they were in the wilderness. They rejected his statue, rejected his ordinances, and on and on.
Yeah. So then, that's the now, this is a legit question.
Okay.
Did he bring them back at this particular time in history because it triggers the last days?
Well, it all fits. Yeah, I don't know if it's the trigger for it, but it's certainly the puzzle piece that fits right where it's supposed to be. Because now, think of this. Here you are, you're Satan, and you know, you have to figure out some way to try and survive because you know you're headed to the lake of fire.
Right.
So here's his prophecy. Number one, it starts in the beginning. Oh, the Messiah is coming. So he tries to, you know, basically corrupt the DNA of all mankind, hence the giants. So Noah was perfect in his generations. That went out. All right. If you read the story of Abraham, and actually read it in Jubilees, it's way more detailed. But it was prophesied that the Messiah would come through him. So Satan tried to kill him in similar ways. And you can read those stories. And then through David, so tried to kill all of his line. And so now all on and on, he's trying to kill off the Messiah, even to the point of killing all the babies that were born when Jesus was.
Right.
Well, now he got to kill the Messiah and found out that was the bane of his existence because and he actually did that. And that, so he's got to change his strategy.
Yeah.
So here's the final prophecy is Israel will repent and live in the land.
Yeah.
So Satan tries to destroy Israel because if Israel's not around, then they can't repent and they can't live in the land. And he thinks he's won the game again.
Yeah.
And this is where we are now. So yes, this is in that sense a trigger for the end of the age prophecy because here they are in the land where they have to be in order to build the temple and to be attacked in Jerusalem.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, I said when Donald Trump was president, and this isn't political, guys, this is just a fact. When Donald Trump was in office, he designated Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And I think that that was his, I think that was God's purpose for Donald Trump, and the first, and despite everything else, whatever else he did was okay or wrong, whatever, however you want to interpret it. But that one thing, I believe, is the reason that he was put in as president of the United States, because there had been numerous presidents on both Democrat and Republican that said that they were going to designate Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and every single one of them lied and didn't do it. And that includes people like Ronald Reagan and, you know, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, both of the Bushes, you know, all of them. They all said it, but nobody did it. Trump did. So, I that's my personal opinion there. I think that's why he was established as U.S. president. I haven't figured out why Joe Biden is there now, but well, I got an idea, but I'm...
Yeah, he was the funniest thing. The number one, he's drifting off at the, you know, Babylon Bee. He's got like the G7 becomes the G6 as Biden wanders off.
That was crazy. Yeah.
And then you see him with the poop. So he's sitting there with the poop and he puts his forehead on the poop's forehead. And you're like, what are you doing?
Oh man. Whack job. You got to love him, I guess. I don't know. Okay.
I'm required to.
All right. Now, this one, this is two parts of the same story. But I think it's important to play it, play both of them. And then I've actually got a actual written one that kind of goes along with it. But let's listen to this one real quick.
Seeking a resolution to the ongoing conflict in Ukraine was the focus as dozens of world leaders gathered for the first day of a major conference in Switzerland on Saturday.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is using the peace conference to garner support for a 10-year plan he first proposed in 2022 to end hostilities between Ukraine and Russia. Notably, Russia and China do not have representatives at the Swiss conference, Joseph Eckerson reporting.
So what's the point of having a peace conference about Russia if Russia's not invited and China doesn't show up?
I mean,
it's kind of stupid if you ask me. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, he's like, there's China's all stinted.
Oh, you won't invite my boyfriend? Well, I ain't going either.
So, you know, and they're just a bunch of clowns. I think they're all going to get together and make this decision, and then you know, Russia and China are just going to lay down and do whatever they decide. That's not going to happen.
Well, you know, the same thing happened with Israel. You know, where they gather a bunch of nations. Egypt is one that I remember. It's popped up two or three times, and they come up with these peace plans, but Israel's not present. And Hamas is not present, or one is and one isn't, you know. And so what good does it do? That'd be kind of like, okay, I don't like these neighbors over here, so I'm going to go to this neighbor behind me back here, and we're going to come together and tell them they have to move. I mean, you know, that's about as much sense as it makes, right?
Yep, it really does. So speaking of Hamas, I think it was today they blew up all the tunnels in Gaza.
Oh, really?
Rafah.
Okay.
Gaza, Rafah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they blew up like pretty much all of the tunnels and killed, they estimate, half of Hamas process.
Wow. Okay. So I haven't seen that report yet.
The treaty anymore. No?
Yeah. I haven't seen that report yet. I've been busy putting the show together, so I missed that one. Okay.
Yeah, so Hamas is going to miss that part.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough of them to show up anymore.
Okay. Now, I told you this was like two or three parts here. So.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, a look at Vladimir Putin's offer of peace talks with Ukraine. The Russian leader said on Friday that he would be willing to negotiate with President Volodymyr Zelensky, but only under certain conditions. Military analyst and former Air Vice Marshal Sean Bell says the Russian leader's proposals are a non-starter.
All he's said is if Ukrainian forces withdraw out of those four occupied regions, they're occupied by Russia, and says that Ukraine won't join NATO, then of course he'll call a ceasefire. And you go, the aims of Putin's invasion were almost certainly to try and seize the Donbass region and try and stop the expansion of NATO. So what is he actually saying here? Putin has been trying to capitalize on this window of opportunity when the West's weapons weren't flowing to Ukraine, really struggling to make any significant breakthrough. Now the momentum is being lost, and all of a sudden it's looking a bit less rosy for Russia on the battlefields.
At the weekend summit in Switzerland, designed to breathe life into Ukraine's separate proposals for peace talks, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen described the Kremlin's gambit as a non-starter. She said it was a recipe for future wars of aggression. Russia was not invited to the gathering in Switzerland over the weekend, and Chinese officials didn't show up. But the Ukrainians claim the weekend talks were a fresh show of support for their efforts to push back against Russian aggression. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
In other words, Zelensky got promises that people were going to keep sending him money. And you notice he had a 10-year plan. That means a 10-year war. Because Russia is, you know, they're not going to back up. All Putin said is, all we want you to do is to abide by the agreement that we made with either Ronald Reagan or the first Bush, that Ukraine would not ever be a part of NATO. That was a part of the agreement that brought down the Berlin Wall. And so, actually, we voided the agreement when we started talking about inviting Ukraine into NATO, or possibly doing it. So, I'm not saying Russia's right. I'm not saying the U.S. is wrong, but I am saying that there was an agreement in place and we broke it. And Russia is now in a position where they do not want nuclear weapons as a neighbor any more than we would want a nuclear Mexico or even a nuclear Canada. So, you know, think about that for a minute and realize that basically what he's telling them is we can stop all this stuff if you'll just say Ukraine will not be a part of NATO. Go back to the original agreement and we can stop the war right now. And they think that's too tough.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. Also, I told you there was a written one. Let's see if I can even see to read this. Having a heck of a time. The Kremlin said on Monday that a remark by NATO chief that the military alliance was holding talks on deploying more nuclear weapons, and they call it an escalation of tensions. You think? These talks were held at the behest of the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, and billed as a peace summit, even though, again, Moscow was not invited. Said, this is nothing but another escalation of tension. Now, that's from the Russian side. But here's one. This is the reason I include this, David, because this is kind of weird here. I want you to get your impression on this. It said that Russia and the United States are by far the world's biggest nuclear powers, holding about 88% of the world's nuclear weapons. The U.S. has about 100 non-strategic B-61 nuclear weapons deployed in the five European countries, which are Italy, Germany, Turkey, Belgium, and the Netherlands. That's according to the Bureau of the Atomic Scientists. And the U.S. has another 100 such weapons within its borders here, I suppose. Here's the other part, though. Russia has about 1,558 non-strategic nuclear warheads, though arms control experts say it's very difficult to say just how many there really are due to secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm reading that right, they've got approximately 800-900 more than we got?
Yep, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And that's not even...
that's not all that they reported.
Yeah, that's just what they tell us they got. So, I mean, yeah, if both sides hit the nuclear weapon button, there is no world. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. In fact, I'll say it right now, plain and simple. It were not going to happen, at least not before the rapture of the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be part of it. I mean, we see things in the tribulation that could resemble that, like the sun becoming dark. Well, mm-hmm. you had a nuclear bomb go off over your head, it would mm-hmm. you know, be so bright it would make the sun look dark.
Yeah.
And then the moon would turn red because it does have a red fallout. So mm-hmm. when the moon came back around, then you'd do that if you were alive, and the mountains would melt. Well, that's for sure. Islands would flee. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could be because of the coming of Jesus, because he is that powerful energy too. Yes. Or it might be the bombs that, you know, as he's opening the judgment seals, there they go.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm taking my hand off of that. So there goes that bomb. I'm taking my hand off of this. There goes the earthquakes. And then, mm-hmm. you know, combined with that whole planetary thing we talked about before.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a near passby of Mars.
Yeah, or well,
some people suspect there's this dark planet called Nibiru that they just aren't telling us about.
Okay. That's the first time hearing of that. Okay. That's a new one.
Yeah, look up Nibiru, you know, for Planet X.
Okay.
That's always fun. Okay. We talk about that stuff on the discipleship study too.
Oh, really?
How valid is this?
Oh man. Okay. All right. Well, I got to get back in there for sure. I've only been on one or two of them, so yeah, I got to get back in there for sure. You know, I just see too much going on right now, David. I've got to warn people that, you know, Matthew mm-hmm. 24 was very, very specific. And why don't you go ahead and read a little bit of that? And I'm going to try to follow you along here in my Bible.
Well, where did you want to start?
Matthew 23, maybe. you know, because, okay.
And, well, we all know the chicken event.
Yeah, that's the one I want to start with right there.
Okay. So let's see. Let me see here. He's calling them. So Jesus is very, very nice here. And he's talking to the Pharisees and called them, "You serpents, you generation of vipers."
Right.
How can you escape the damnation of hell? Mm-hmm. So there's him and his loving self. Mm-hmm. But let's start in 29, actually. 23, 29. Everyone loves to read 24 and then blame the, you know, false rapture teachings on book chapter 24.
Right.
Well, let's lead into it. This is chapter 23, verse 29, and it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, mm-hmm. you hypocrites." Oh, we call them hypocrites. That's not very nice. "Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers in the blood of the prophets.'"
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We hear the same thing today.
Yeah.
Verse 31, "Wherefore ye be witnesses of yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets." Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you walked right into that one, didn't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. "So if we were there, we wouldn't have been in there. We wouldn't have killed the prophets." Oh, so you admit it was your forefathers.
Yeah.
Okay. "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell?"
Yeah, and wow. For people right there, for people that said Jesus never mentioned hell, there it is. That's just one.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, that is the word here, Gehenna, okay, which is what they considered in that culture hell.
Okay.
They considered that the pit where you would be thrown into like trash and burn for eternity.
Yeah.
Okay. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, mm-hmm. that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you, how often I would have gathered you like children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Mm-hmm. For behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Amen.
So here's what Jesus said. "You're a den of vipers. You belong in hell. I'm going to destroy you." And then the disciples come in chapter 24 and say, "When are these things going to happen?"
Right. I mean, they were going to be real interested in that. I would be too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so here he is. When are these things going to happen? Oh, look at the temple's great, isn't it? You're going to rule and reign from this temple. No, that one, I got that one. That one's going to be torn down, not one stone left upon another. And right. Then we're going to have wars. We're going to have the rumors of wars. You're going to flee from Jerusalem or Judea. Don't run on the Sabbath. Earthquakes, famines, all sorts of nonsense going on. So he's talking about, when is he going to condemn the evil Pharisees and scribes, uh-huh. and this tribulation period, because remember, right. it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Correct. So he says, when are you going to, they're like, when are you going to come back and rule and reign? Because mm-hmm. they read the prophecies, they read Ezekiel, they read Isaiah, and it's going to be mm-hmm. wonderful when he's reigning on the
right,
earth.
Right, right.
The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will eat grass, the babies can play with snakes. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
So that's what the question is in Matthew 24. They had no clue about this church thing.
No.
What church? What are you talking about? You're coming back to rule, aren't you? Even in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus mm-hmm. comes back, he says, "Okay, now are you going to set up the kingdom?" And he's mm-hmm. like, "Slow yep. down, mister.
Not yet. No. Gentiles hadn't had their time yet."
And then he goes up, right? And he says, mm-hmm. "Hey, why are you standing here watching him go up? He's going to come back the same way."
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay. And it wasn't until later on that they found out about this whole church thing. Well, mm-hmm. Gentiles can be saved.
Yeah, they set it up. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So they had no clue about the rapture or any of that stuff in the point of Matthew 24. They mm-hmm. thought Jesus was coming to destroy all the Pharisees because he just yelled at them and set up mm-hmm. his kingdom right away.
Yeah.
And that was not the case, apparently.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing here is that, you know, they had no clue. The New Testament was not written yet. They are responsible for writing it, them and others, responsible for writing it after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, what they went through, not a single disciple lived a nice little life that ended up just dying peacefully overnight, I don't believe. I think they were all subject to what you would call hell on earth. And
managed to live through it all, but he was still, you know, according to history, boiled in oil. And he's kind of like laughing when they boiled him in oil.
Yeah. Like I said, nobody made it out. You know, he told them. He told them that they were going to suffer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was pretty clear about that.
They hate you. They hate me, so they're going to hate you. Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah. And, you know, if they weren't absolutely, positively, 100% sure that Jesus Christ was not actually the Son of God, not one of them would have died. I promise you. Because all mm-hmm. the hell that they had to go through, you got to have some major faith to be able to go through the suffering that they did. And mm-hmm. they went through it very willingly.
Absolutely. All they had to do is say, no, that stuff never happened, and maybe we won't burn you at the stake.
Right.
So that's all they had to do. But this just shows us these times are coming. They're going to get really bad, and they're starting right now, which means the rapture is that much closer.
Yeah.
So tell everybody about the fun rapture and how we get to go home and have dinner while the earth is burning.
Yeah, well, you know, there is going to be that last individual that's going to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And if you will just say a simple prayer and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died for me. I know he's your son. I know he's risen. I know he sits at your right hand. I know he's coming back for his church first before the wrath comes. But I promise to follow you all the remaining days of my life. Please, Father, forgive me of my sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it in your own words, and you will be saved, and you're not going to have to go through the rapture. But the rapture is going to happen, and when it happens, if you're left behind, then you got to go through at least part of the Great Tribulation period, and that is the worst time the earth has ever seen and the worst it'll ever see. And you can avoid all of that simply by getting saved now. That's pure and simple. That's the end of it. So, David, mm-hmm. I'll let you finish off the show.
All right. So, it's real simple. You sinned. The wages of sin is death. Okay? So, you have a contract that you have to fulfill. That's the deal. Too bad you're in it. Okay? It doesn't matter what you think. So, here's a better deal. God himself, as the Son, stepped off of his throne and said, I love you so much that I'll come down and I'll pay for that contract myself. That's why he had to die on the cross, and that's why he had to be literally Jesus, the creator, coming down to be a man. And he says very clearly in Hebrews, he became as a likeness of man. That's to pay off your sin. Colossians 2:14 says, you know, he blotted out those ordinances. So he canceled all those contracts against us. If you receive him, just accept that contract that he has. You accept that contract, then all your sins will be paid. And when you're before the throne, it's as he is before the throne. That's as simple as it is. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.